In church. Wow, it is really, really encouraging to be with you this morning. And you know what? It's always, always a joy together to pause our lives and to lift up praise and thanksgiving to our Father. Amen. So good, you guys, to be here. So I want to just give a shout out to Pastor Ben just for giving this opportunity to share this morning. I'm excited to talk about the good news of Jesus because he is the one who offers us the deal of a lifetime, new lives for old. And there's this story I just want to start with. After all, we are a storied people, right? Well, it was the summer of 2005, and we were in New York City. I led a missions trip with our young people. This was one of the harder trips that I took in my ministry and serving with our youth. Because can you imagine standing on the street in Times Square and trying to share God's message with those who seem to be living in this warp speed? Not easy. Anyway, during that time there was a ministry we partnered with, and it was called The Father's Heart. We were helping hands in this feeding program that not only fed hungry tummies, but afterwards the pastor would share the gospel and he fed empty souls. And I remember the passage of scripture that evening was from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it was specifically verse 17. That says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And that night, the pastor said something that has stayed with me all these years. And I will never, ever forget what he said. He said, come on home. Papa's not mad at you. Come on home. For all those who have not found their way, and to all those who have gotten lost somewhere along the way, come on home. This ministry of reconciliation, it emphasizes the hope that we have as believers in our future resurrection and our eternal home with God versus this temporary nature of these bodies in the here and the now. But you know what? What truly takes my breath away, the way that this chapter in 2 Corinthians highlights the transformative power of Christ's love and our roles as believers to be ambassadors of reconciliation. You and me, ambassadors of reconciliation, because God sees us. He turns the ashes of our lives into beauty. He takes all our brokenness and turns it into something beautiful for his glory and for his kingdom's sake. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 61:3 is evidence of God's redemptive power. It speaks of God giving a crown of glory instead of ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It's God's promise, his transformative power to bring good from difficult and painful situations. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood, because all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But my God, he made something beautiful of my life. That's an old chorus. I wasn't going to sing it for you, but that's an old chorus by Gloria and Bill Gaither. And it's been a song that has spoken of my life. It speaks of your life too. Or this one song by Wayne Watson, New Lives for Old. New lives for old, warm hearts for cold. Have I got a deal for you today? Come on, step right this way and get your new lives for old. Let me take you back a bit into my journey. It was August of 2001. And I was taking this course called Evangelism and Missions, and Pastor Mark Wilson was my professor. And one of my assignments was to write about my own spiritual journey. So that is the way that I am going to begin this message this morning, in the same way that I began that paper over 20 years ago. And if you would ask why, I'd have to say only God. Only God and His transforming power in the life of one woman. This is a quote. I loved it then, and I love it now, by Charles Tremendous Jones. This is what he said. I can tell my entire story in 15 short seconds. I'm not what I think I am. I'm not what I hope to be. And I'm not what I ought to be. But by the grace of God, I'm not what I was. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. He then goes on to say that this is everybody's life story who's a blood-bought, born-again child of God. The only reason that you were born is to be born again, and you're never going to live till you are. A real witness is to be so in love with Jesus, to be so filled with Him, that this love naturally overflows into every part of our lives. It's as simple as breathing. And it only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank You for meeting with us this morning as we welcome You. Worthy is the Lamb who sits on the throne. Unleash Your Holy Spirit in this room. Speak to each of our hearts this morning. Father God, You have called us and You have placed a mission upon our hearts to win this world for Your kingdom. You have given us gifts, each one of us, You've given us gifts to win the world for Your kingdom, and it takes each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, help us to be the lights that You have called us to be in this city of Hayward. Lay upon our hearts those who need You, those who are walking in dark places and brokenness and strife. Help us, Holy Spirit, to let our lights shine for Your kingdom's sake. And it's in the precious, the amazing, the transformative name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21 speaks of the ministry of reconciliation. And it is at the core of the gospel message. So grab your Bibles, your phones, turn with me to this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21, because we're going to read these words. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. On Calvary, Christ took our sin, giving us His righteousness. Here, God is reconciling all of humanity to Himself through the sacrifice of Jesus. It's this transfer that lies at the heart of our faith. It's as clear as this passage of 2 Corinthians 5. It's as clear here as anywhere else in the scripture. We, as followers of Christ, are called to share this message, to extend this reconciliation, this restoration of relationship caused by sin through God's grace and the transformative power of the Holy Spirit to others. And I think, what joy, what a gift. Amen. Amen. And as I was writing that last sentence, that last long sentence, an example, as simple as it may be, popped into my brain. It was the one, and I'm going to share it with you, it was one of the very first Sundays mornings that I attended the Hayward Wesleyan Church. I can't remember what exact date it was, but I can see it very clearly in my mind. And I do remember a couple things. First, I remember that I was really, really nervous walking up that sidewalk into that little white church. And second, I remember being welcomed by Steve and Linda Garrick. And third, as I've been reflecting, that welcoming has made all the difference in my upcoming journey in Christ. You know, it's been sad that that people will remember how they felt, how they were received, more than they will remember the message that was preached from the pulpit. I really, really pray that each one of you will be attentive to the stranger, to the other who walks through these doors, because it matters. It matters. It so matters for eternity. And as one of my favorite authors has stated, we welcome the other simply because they are made in the imagio Dei of God. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called. We're called to be ambassadors, delegates, and representatives for Christ. To not only share the gospel message, but to be active in seeking to mend broken relationships and to promote peace and unity. For there is absolutely nothing in this whole world as important as this. And I'm going to say that again. There is absolutely nothing in this whole wide world as important as this. The ministry of reconciliation is this ongoing lifestyle of grace and love for each and every one of us. And here's a little caveat. For those who don't know me, I would really love to meet you. But know this, as you probably already can sense, I am this kind of amen kind of person. And maybe that's because I'm Southern. I have Southern roots. I was born there. Or maybe it's just how God made me. I don't know. But really, feel free to be expressive during our time together. Because it just lends this sense of being in this space and this time together. Amen? Amen. You know, it's Christ's love that compels us. We know that one died for all, and so all died. And we know that Jesus died so that those who live not for themselves. Let me say that again. Live not for themselves, but they live for the one who died for them and was raised to life. Therefore, because Jesus died, if anyone is in Christ, believes in him, they are a brand spanking new creation. There's this reconnecting, this putting back together thing that's happening, redemption, restoration, fulfillment of God's purpose for creation. And now, because this is all from God, verse 18, which says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave each and every one of us a ministry of reconciliation. He's the one. He's the one who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. And we, church, are the recipients of this divine reconciliation. Like Paul, we too are instruments in the mighty hand of God our Father to minister the message of reconciliation. Here, there, throughout the whole wide world, we get to help. We get to be part of putting people back together. These verses in 2 Corinthians capture the heart of the good news, the gospel. Because lowering himself, the sinless Jesus, took our sin upon himself and canceled its power through his death and resurrection. Sin no longer has power on us, over us. Let me say it. Sin has no power over us. As believers, we are united with him, then are raised up with him, and embody God's righteousness, experiencing forgiveness, reconciliation, and new life. And I just say, wow, God, thank you. Thank you. Can't thank you enough. And remember this reconciliation. It's only achieved by Jesus' sacrifice. It's a gift offered to all. We as believers are called to be ambassadors of this message. We have the hope of eternal life. This new eternal body is given instead of the earthly body we have now, and Paul emphasizes how important it is to live by faith, trusting God's promises, even when they aren't visible or even when we don't understand. Have faith and trust. We are a new creation. We need to own it. We've been radically changed. We have a new identity, a new purpose, and a new outlook on life. You know, I don't want to sound redundant, but I don't think we can say it enough. It's not about us, right? It's not about us. God the Father has reconciled the world to himself through Christ Jesus, his Son. And believers, you and I are called to be these ambassadors of that reconciliation. We are called to share the message of hope and forgiveness with others. There's no way around it. We are called. We are called. We are living for Christ. Paul, the Apostle Paul, states that Christ died for all. And we, as believers, as followers of Jesus, should no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him. He is the one who died and rose again. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. I got a question for you. This is just kind of a random question, but have you ever just woke up in the morning and said, "Well, Lord, what do you have for me today? Because you know what? Where you lead, that's where I want to go. And where you lead, not me, not anyone else, only you, that's where I want to go." Have you ever done that? Gives me a good start in the morning, that's what I can say. I brought with me this morning, this was my very, very, very first study Bible. And I want to share something with you. I made a commitment to Christ to follow hard after him when I was 38 years old. That's when I recommitted my life back to Jesus. And I bought this study Bible. I joined a small group, and I cannot emphasize the extreme importance of joining a small group to grow in Christ, because, brothers and sisters, we do not grow alone. Amen? We do not grow alone. We need each other. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Did you hear me, church? We need each other. Why don't you turn to each other and say, "I need you"? Go ahead. I need you. I need you. As a matter of fact, Jesus calls us to love our God with everything that's within us and to love one another as our very selves. That's in Matthew 22. So anyway, I want to share a couple things here. I haven't used this particular Bible for a while, but it's kind of tattered and torn, but I got it out for this message today. And when I opened it up, I just found a couple of quotes that I had taped to the first page. And so I want to share them with you. The first one is by Danny Jones, who was a Wesleyan pastor. And this is what he says. "What am I doing to affect the things I can? Jesus twice declared, 'But unless you repent, you too will all perish.' I cannot change all the evil in the world, but I have a responsibility before God to confess the sin in my own heart. I cannot dictate that everyone be kind and that all outcomes will be fair, but I am going to stand before God one day and give an account for how kind I have been and how fair I have treated others. I cannot repair all the hurts and all the brokenness that exist in the world, but I can repent of all the hate and all the bitterness that creeps into my own soul. Some people spend a lifetime grumbling about what life has done to me. The most important question when we stand before God is going to be, 'What have I done with life?' Maybe I cannot change the world, but by God's grace, I can change me. Maybe I will never be powerful or influential enough to leave a huge old mark. But if I can touch just one life for God and for eternity, then my life has not been without purpose. Amen? And this is another one. I don't even remember who the author was. I just liked it and cut it out and taped it into the front of my Bible. When I reach the end of my days, a moment or two from now, I must look backward on something more meaningful than the pursuit of houses and land and machines and stocks and bonds, nor is fame of any lasting benefit. I will consider my earthly existence to have been wasted unless I can recall a loving family, a consistent investment in the lives of others, of people, and an earnest attempt to serve God who made me. Nothing else makes sense. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. I love how passionate God is about reconciliation. He has brought us into this work, a partnership with God. Can you just wrap your brain around that? This partnership we have with God, I think it's amazing. Totally amazing. And so I have four just little thoughts that I want to leave with you this morning and to consider. Well, actually, they're just four words, okay? They might be on the screen. Why don't pray, care, share, and dare. I found those somewhere in all my research. But the first one is pray. Matthew 9:37 through 38 says, How come I can't see it back there anymore? Oh, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray, because we are a praying people, and we are called to pray without ceasing. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5 says. It's about cultivating this continuous, prayerful mindset and this dependence upon our God. So pray. Care. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Simple acts of kindness. These are just deliberate actions, and it's just intended to show compassion and show love, and they're performed without any expectations of return gain at all. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Matthew 6, care. Share, Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. And pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I just want to encourage all of you this morning, if you have any questions about sharing your faith, sharing your testimony, or how do I even share my faith with another, talk to your pastors, talk to your elders, talk to your small group leaders. Just talk to them. Have conversations. Find a small group. Share. I'm reminded of a song by an old Christian artist, Babbie Mason. Each one, reach one. For the Father. Amen? Absolutely amen. And the last one, dare. Psalm 51:13. By the way, Psalm 51 is a perfect pattern for restoration. And verse 13 says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Take someone who has an interest in God. Just take them under your wing. Have a simple discipleship plan. Read through scripture together in a year. Start a discipleship group, or start a small group that meets in your home. Be that change agent in the hand of God. Can you see it? I am a change agent in the mighty, mighty hand of God. And we're using the gifts that he has given each of us, because every one of us have a gift to share for the kingdom's sake. Pray, care, share, and dare. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Anyway, so Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Yes, we go. We go and we build relationships. We go and we preach the gospel that our Lord Jesus was born, he lived, he died, and was resurrected. We go and we preach that God takes old and he makes it new. If your old life has not been made new yet, then it's time to come. It's time to come home because Papa's not mad at you. He loves you with an unshakable love. He calls our name, and he stole our shame. Everything changed when I came running home out of the dark into his arms. No more running away. Those are just a couple lyrics from a song titled Running Home by Cochrane and Company. Write that down. Running Home by Cochrane and Company. Last Sunday, I heard it for the first time. I was sitting in church at the beginning of the service, and this video came on with this big guy singing and belting out these lyrics, and I'm going, whoa, that's powerful. That's powerful. That's the gospel. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I'll never get tired of saying that verse. Never, never. Yeah. New lives for old, warm hearts for cold. Have I got a deal for you today? Come on. Come on and step right this way and get your new lives for old. Come on home. Because Papa's not mad at you. Come on home. Amen. Let's pray. No, you know what? I don't want to pray. I want you to stand with me. Please. And I want us to share in this benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. May you live as a new creation in Christ, embracing your identity as reconciled to God through him. Go forth as ambassadors of reconciliation, sharing the good news of Christ's love and forgiveness with the whole wide world and reflecting the very righteousness of God. Amen and amen. May your week be fruitful and may it be so productive. Why? For God's kingdom. He loves the world. Amen. You're dismissed.